You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
Oh, man, how proud are you of Banyana Banyana? They are becoming a top team on the continent. They're now gearing up for the finals in Morocco tomorrow. And they have a chance to achieve their primary objective of winning the Women's AFCON. And at the rate that they've been performing, that is a possibility. I want to bring in Coach Desiree Ellis now, who is the head coach for Banyana Banyana. Coach, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. And I don't know if I should say welcome to the listeners or the viewers.
Yes. Look, first of all, I've got to congratulate you for winning the Women's Coach of the Year Award at the 2022 CAF Awards yesterday.
It's amazing, but like I always say, I might have received the award, but it's a team award. You know, we cannot do it without the players, without the staff. It's just amazing. Like I always tell the players, you know, when the team does well, the individuals will stand out, but teamwork first. So it's a dedication to the Banyana staff and players, as well as the coaches who coach in women's football, because they do a lot of hard work. To all the fans out there who've been supporting us from afar, Safa and Cecil, for their faith and support. You know, I'm just grateful and very thankful.
Oh, that's incredible, Coach. And I'm receiving so many messages from our listeners who are so proud of the work that you guys are doing as a team. Take us through what the journey has been like in getting to this point where you've got an opportunity to rise as champions tomorrow.
Look, it started way before we left South Africa. I had a meeting with a senior group of players and asked what their achievements were. And said they said, we have gone qualify for World Cup. I said, our ambitions are no different, but we've got to be in it together. We've got to be together for us to achieve this together. And the players have been absolutely magnificent, you know. Through the adversity that we had with Tembi getting injured, before that with Gabriella getting injured, as well as the COVID cases in our camp, I think the players really, you know, showed the unity. We were united. We were ready to take the field with whoever was available. But the South African Football Association really came through for us and supported us in that. So big thank you to them as well, you know. And we took it one game at a time. And the first game was obviously the most important. And then every game after that, we could go take players and rest players to make sure that players were fresh for the knockout stages, the quarterfinals. The semi-finals were not easy games, and we know these knockout games go like that, and we're not expecting anything different tomorrow. But we'll be ready. We've gone to Equatorial Guinea, played in a stadium where we just saw red and got a result, and it's going to need a similar effort tomorrow.
Yeah, and how are the team members doing ahead of tomorrow? I was reading in the Star newspaper this morning about some hostility. You know, there are some people saying you must expect some hostility in Morocco because, you know, they are notoriously known for shining things like laser pointers during the game. How worried are you about that? And has that been your experience over the last couple of days?
Look, we're staying focused on what the task is, and then we're trying to not let anything outside of football distract us. Players are working together. Staff are sitting down, working together, and we're carrying on because we need to be ready for the game. Like I said, we've been to countries where, you know, things were not going our way, but we need to do the job. You know, we need to make sure that we don't let those distractions come in our way, and we'll do everything in our power on Saturday to make sure that we come away with a victory.
Yeah, and we have so much confidence in you guys. I've got a message from a listener who says, "Hi, Clement, we need to motivate this women team. Can these women start getting paid their worth already? They're already worth more than the Bafana team's. Big ups to Desiree and the team." How are you motivating the team, Coach, when we often hear about how less they are compensated compared to their male counterparts? Because it helps when, yes, they've got passion for the game, they've got passion for the sport, but it also helps knowing that my contribution is compensated for, and the fact that I'm a woman doesn't determine how more or less I should be compensated.
Look, a lot of our players play in professional setups abroad. And I think they've matured over the last 4 years since 2018. You saw the big bonus that's up for them, but I think the motivation of winning the gold is really big. You know, the extra incentive of the money is an extra incentive, but the motivation and the will to win that, because when we got into camp, that was before even any discussions. That was the aim. Qualify for the World Cup and take their gold medal. And the bonus that's come at hand is an extra incentive. And we know that with everything else, you know, more things will happen. We had players that got contracts abroad, and we're hoping through this more players will get contracts abroad. You know, and through every adversity, there's always a brighter side. And our players are really excited and looking forward to the match tomorrow. We know it's not going to be easy. We've seen the previous games, Morocco against Nigeria, etc. We know it's going to be difficult. But like I said, our players are level-headed. They know what they want to achieve. And they deserve everything coming their way, because they have been absolutely magnificent. So we're ready for the game tomorrow. We just pray and trust and believe. That's all we're doing, because we know what we can do and we know our worth.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow, Coach, and thank you so much for making us so proud. We will be cheering on you guys all the way from South Africa, and we're wishing you all the best.
We say thank you to everyone for the messages of support, and we will do our level best to get that gold medal.
That's Desiree Ellis, the head coach at Banyana Banyana. They're ready for tomorrow. Let's cross fingers, let's pray, and let's support them tomorrow. Yeah? Here are some voice notes that have been coming through.
Hi, Clement. This is Cedula Tsutsumane. Clement, you know what? Big up to Banyana Banyana for being, you know, right up there. And that's where they belong, because of their hard work and their coach, Desiree Ellis. All the best for them. You know, we want that trophy back on South African soil. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Mm.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, Coach Desiree. I only have a few things to say. My name is Darian. Go, Desiree. Go, Banyana. Go, Desiree. Go, Banyana. You know what? The only similarities between this team and the other team is that the word, the prefix ba and suffix na are similar. That's the only similarities between guys. Wow, the field speaks so differently. Well done, Coach. And Banyana, awesome.
You're so spicy. You are really, really, really spicy. Ah, oh, I'm looking forward to this game tomorrow. I really am. Look, at the rate they've been playing, it really is possible for them to bring this trophy back home. All right, I'll take more of your WhatsApp voice notes, 072-011-880702 for the calls, 072-702-1702 for those WhatsApp. Let's show some love for Banyana Banyana. Yeah? Let's show some love for them. And even tomorrow, let's tweet, let's send them messages of support, and just make sure that they feel the love all the way in Morocco. I want to bring in friend Hilton Smith now, who is the CAF, COSAFA instructor and former Banyana Banyana head coach. Thank you for making time, friend. Good morning.
Good morning, morning to your listeners and everybody in South Africa.
What's your assessment of how Banyana Banyana have been playing so far? You must be proud that they have reached this milestone.
Yes, certainly. Of course, first, congrats to Dave's third time coach of CAF. It's really an incredible achievement. And for the team, I'm so proud of them getting to this stage. It's not easy. There's all the background stuff and, you know, like Tembi Kotlana getting injured, the COVID scares, whatever. It just all puts so much pressure. So to reach the final of this competition against the teams in the competition is a massive achievement for Banyana, and of course I'm very proud.
Yeah. Let's take a few steps back, friend, because if we are serious about having world-class footballers, we need to focus a lot, not just on the coaches, and we'll talk later about the work you're doing in helping female coaches and guiding them on how to navigate and become qualified coaches in this male-dominated field. But the importance of development, how important is that in creating and making superstars, people who really are not just passionate about soccer, but they are so damn good at it?
Well, it takes years. You know, many of the players, it's not an overnight sensation. I mean, 18 years ago when I was coaching Banyana, I realized if we don't have an academy, it will be very difficult for the girls to progress without, you know, consistent diet and food and education and medical. So we started the HPC. And this has produced many of the players that are in this team. The Tembi Khatlana, Linda comes from there, Janine, the goalkeeper, Kaylin, many of the others. So that was the long-term development. And then also consistency in representing from junior level up to senior. So, for instance, a player like Jermaine played in our under-17 team at the World Cup in Trinidad and Tobago years back, and in fact scored against Germany. We lost the match, but Jermaine scored. Mm. And she's never stopped delivering since then. She got us to the under-17 World Cup. She got us to the Olympics with a goal and two World Cups with goals. So Jermaine is really a prolific player, goal scorer. But it's years of development. It's not something that happened yesterday. And that's why I think the women's team is so successful, is because we have continuity from junior teams up. And we have a good development system over the years with the High Performance Center.
Mm, and it's so good to get even those young girls involved in the sports that early on, and even in coaching, because it's so good for the national team and its sustainability, as you say. How about coaching? Because you've spoken a lot about how, yes, it's important to look at the grassroots level, but it's also important for us to develop coaches. Tell me about the work you're doing in helping coaches get qualified in this male-dominated field and do well in coaching these women teams.
Well, for one, I think in South Africa, I realized even when I started coaching, I was the only woman there. And fortunately, because I could play well, I was accepted with the big guys and went through all my licenses and ended up with my CAF A license, CAF Pro license. So I then decided, hang on, we need more women coaches. So I made that my mission, to develop women coaches who could coach any men-woman team. And over the years, developed 27 CAF A license coaches. So Desiree comes from that crop, some PV Dludlu, the under 17, Jabulile Baloyi, Maud Kumalo, all those coaches come through that program I implemented. And South Africa actually has more coaches with the CAF A than all of Africa put together.
Mm.
So we are far ahead in having coaches. And that really sparked something in me, and that's why I've been a FIFA instructor since 2001 in coaching coaches, mm. women and men. And now I've been doing it for CAF for about 10, 15 years, and I still do it for CAF and CASAFA, our southern region. We're in fact having a coaching course for our instructors from CASAFA during the upcoming Women's Champions League. So coaching coaches for me is a priority, because I believe women should coach women's teams and the national team. But if they're not qualified or given the opportunity in a male-dominated world, it's very, very difficult. So I really push for that, because I think, well, Desiree's proved it. Nobody's won the African coach of the woman 3 times in a row. So it's the women are doing it for themselves, and that's what I want to see.
What conversations are you guys having at the level, at SAFA, at CAF levels, in these football bodies about the incentives for these players? I mean, Banyana Banyana is one of our best national teams, but if you look at how they are compensated, that doesn't speak to the commitment that they demonstrate on that field. So what needs to change, and when is that change going to happen so we see them being fairly compensated for their work?
Well, in recent times, many countries around the world have realized that, you know, the women deserve to be on an equal footing. And I think the greatest victory for women's football was the U.S. women's team finally winning their court case. It was sad that they had to go to court to get the decision of equal pay. And, I mean, a team like the USA, who've won the Women's World Cup 91, 95, 94, endlessly, and their men have never won anything, really. So why should they not be paid the same? And I think for our women, too, I think you should be paid according to what you achieve. And if you're winning and you're doing well, you must be rewarded. And that's what I wish for Banyana, is that they are rewarded as they would reward men for equal effort, the struggles, the commitment, giving up so much of your life for the game. You need to be rewarded equally for what you do. It's about your efforts you put into the game.
Absolutely. What do you make of the introduction of the enforcement of testosterone tests for players?
Sorry, just say that again.
The introduction of the enforcement of these testosterone tests for players.
Okay. Well, you know, it's happened in every sport. Athletics, the highlight, of course, being Caster. It's become something that's been introduced in sport. And certainly, I think it's something that we need to have equal playing field, let's put it that way. So it was inevitable that they came with gender tests now in football. And, of course, it was implemented in this tournament. And the one that really, I think, got the brunt of it was Barbara Banda from Zambia. I think the way it's handled has to be very, very well done. It's a delicate matter, and it needs to be handled properly. And I think that's what CAF need to do going forward, is to just make sure that all the testing is done and plans are put into place long before the tournament commences.
Do you think we're seeing improvements in the equality in resource allocation, just even media exposure? Because it's going to take more than just the players being committed and playing, or even SAFA or other football bodies compensating them. But even the perception needs to change about Banyana Banyana as just this, they're just women's team. You know, they are a national team. They're doing incredibly well. So the exposure, even in the media, must be there. Even the deals that they sign, endorsement deals must be there. Do you think there's that shift in how we've perceived women's sport in this country?
Well, I must say, after my dealings with the media, I think the women's team gets a lot of coverage. I think they really at the top of the list. They all, you know, we have the Bollywood Bets League on TV every week. Banyana Games always on TV. The media is always there. I think you read a lot about the women. Of course, there can always be more done. It's never enough. But I think we've had quite a bit of exposure with Banyana. And I think, like Sasol, the major sponsor who's been the backbone of Banyana for years, ensure also that there's, you know, they have special events at their petrol stations, massive publicity. Competition. Some of the winners are here now in Morocco to watch the football. So I think we get more media coverage than many countries in Africa. But of course, it's never enough, but we must just hope that we keep on improving, because Banyana, to me, is a household name in South Africa. People love the team. They're forever winning. They're winners. And now, of course, in the final and going to the World Cup, I mean, that's the big cherry on the top, is the...
Indeed.
The World Cup next year in Australia and New Zealand, that's where everybody wants to be. We went to France, we had our test run. So now the girls know, okay, this is what it's all about. I've never missed a World Cup. I've been to everyone, well, I've missed the first one, 91. But after that, 95, 90, I've been to everyone, thanks to FIFA. And I always would come back and say to the girls, this is, it's like this, it's this. But you can't explain the World Cup. You have to go and feel
Absolutely.
It. And now the girls have felt it. So we're expecting wondrous things next year when they go to their second one. I think, I'm hoping that they could get into the next round.
Yeah. Friend Hilton Smith, that's what we are all hoping for. Thank you for making time. Kef and Kosafa, instructor and former Banyana Banyana head coach. Really appreciate your time. It's just after 10:30. When we come back, I'm going to take your calls. I'm going to go to your WhatsApp voice notes as well. Let's show some love for Banyana Banyana.
702.
The Clement Manyathela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, let's bring in the head coach for the under 17 SA national women's team, who's also a former Banyana Banyana captain. That's Simpiwe Dlulu. Simpiwe, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. You must be proud of Banyana Banyana and what they're doing there in Morocco.
Absolutely. I mean, they've come a long way, and having to qualify for the second World Cup consecutively is just been amazing for all of us that support and are for women's football.
What do you think needs to be done to strengthen women's football in the country?
I think we should be seeing more leagues that are happening with more structure from the ground up. You know, currently we see GDL, there's something happening there in the regional leagues, the Sasso League and the Hollywood Super League as well. I think once we make it professional properly, it will help us where we find players earning a proper salary where they can make a living out of playing football. Because right now, all the women that are playing in South Africa, either they are studying or they are working on top of playing football, you know. So that should be looked at and to see how we can improve that. And then, obviously, going below leagues like that, we need to make sure that not just the players are developed properly, but the game in its totality, where you find the referees, officials, the administrators, the coaches, everybody that is involved in football should be given an opportunity to grow and be great at what they do, so that we can see these programs being done effectively. So, because it's not just a short-term goal, but it's going to be a long-term goal, you know. So more funding needs to be in place. More resources need to be in place. There needs to be soccer fields. There's a lot of things that need to be done better, not just for football, but for sport in general, because we all know that is one tool that brings people together, affords people opportunities. It strengthens. I mean, we also add to the GDP of the country, you know. So it's important for us to understand that sport is just that one big tool that brings everything together as well.
It's just so sad that, you know, female players don't have that opportunity to just focus on the sport. As you say, many are studying, many are working as well, and they can't, just like their male counterparts, just focus on the sport. What was your experience as a player?
I mean, some of the challenges that the players are facing now, I faced them, and I think that's the hardest part, where we find that the same challenges that we faced, the same players are facing today, you know, and we just want to make sure that the next generation of players does not end up facing the same thing, because then that way that we don't see progression. But, I mean, we've come a long way with this game. Now you've got women coaches that are coaching women's teams. more than anything. You've got, under 17 teams. I mean, during our times, there wasn't an under 17 team. Now there's an under 17 team. We see younger players. You see younger players are being involved in sports. Some of the challenges that we faced, I mean, it was having to choose between going to training with that money fare or buying your essentials, and it has always been a challenge. And those are still the challenges, not having sufficient soccer boots, to play, just in their playing equipment. We still face those challenges, to date. I would say there is some improvement, but it's not enough.
Yeah. And in terms of just the access to playing facilities, because, I spoke to Fran and Desiree earlier, and what they were stressing is the need for a focus on the development of players from the grassroots level. And also it helps when they are, when girls, boys have access to playing facilities in their communities, right? So are we seeing that happen for females? Because for the most part, in a lot of communities, when it's not a thing, it's not so popular that you can be a female and you are passionate about, soccer and you want to go and play. And we need to start creating that awareness that those opportunities are there even for females, and create those spaces and access to facilities. How are we doing on that front in focusing on that development, the grassroots level?
We've certainly started somewhere. It's good because we've moved a bit from where we started off, where we were. We didn't even have so much access to facilities and things like that. But now, when I was playing, you would find that you have to share a soccer field with the boys, and you just get a quarter of the field. But now you find that girls now even have an opportunity to play in a big field on their own, which is great. Now you find that girls also have a bag of soccer balls than just only having one bag of soccer balls or two soccer balls, So I would say that it's improving, though it's not at a big rate. I mean, we are seeing competitions that allow young girls to play soccer now. There's Indian tournaments that are taking place for under 20s, under 17 girls, So we'd like to see more of that, because we'd want to see under 17 leagues, under 15 leagues for girls only, under 20 leagues for girls only. So which means there needs to be a more number of girls playing football at that level and things being done right for them. We'd want to see cup games happening for women, just like you see an MTNA, a Telkom Cup, you'd see a NetBank Cup. We'd want to see those for women as well, where there's proper enough funding and money for that. Great prize money, more sponsorships coming in, lucrative sponsorships, teams being able to make money for themselves as well. So, yeah. If we could see a lot of that happening, it would help a great deal.
Indeed. Simpiwe Lulu, thank you so much for making time. Head coach for the under 17 South African national women's team and the former Banyana Banyana captain.